From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The issue of police killings of African Americans was brought to the forefront in 2015 by the Black Lives Matter movement. In response to it, and because of problems with federal data about police killings, media outlets like The Guardian and Washington Post began tracking the numbers of people killed by police all over the country. Now, a new study finds that not only do government trackers undercount those who are killed by police, but also do media outlets to an extent. My guest, Justin Feldman, used a statistical technique that's commonly used in wildlife ecology to show that the numbers of those killed are actually higher. Justin Feldman is a social epidemiologist and doctoral candidate at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and lead author of a newly published study in PLOS medicine about this issue. Welcome to the program, Justin.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's first talk about what federal data there is about police killings. One might imagine that it would be a fairly simple thing to keep track of people who are killed by police. You just count the numbers. You have the police department's report every time somebody's killed at the hands of a police officer. And there you should have a pretty, close to perfect database. But there is this database called the NVSS. What is the NVSS and why does it severely undercount police killings?
Yeah, to back up a little bit, there is no accurate federal data in any form on the number of people killed by police in the U.S. in a given year. And there's a couple of sources from the Department of Justice that rely, as you were referring to, on voluntary reporting by police departments. And then there's this source called the National Vital Statistics System. And that is based on death certificates sent by the state governments to the CDC. So we found in our study that looking at this, the CDC system, they miss more than half. They miss 55% of the cases that are people killed by police in the U.S.
Wow! So they miss 55%. So they're only counting about 45%. Why is that? What are the reasons why they undercount so severely?
Yeah, we weren't able to exactly identify why it's happening. Very simply, the person who investigates the cause of death is called a coroner or the medical examiner, depending on what county or what state you're in. And they're supposed to write that police were involved. For example, if someone's shot by police, a death certificate should say that they were shot by police and that is the underlying cause of death. And for whatever reason, these death investigators are leaving these off death certificates, and therefore it's not being counted. We found that some states have a much worse problem than others. So in Oklahoma, there were about 35 people killed by police in 2015, and none of them were counted in this federal database, whereas other states like Oregon did a much better job.
And is there a disproportionate undercounting of any specific racial groups?
We did find that Black people were less likely overall to be counted in the national data. We didn't find any evidence of bias. So the same states and the same counties that undercounted Black people at high rates also undercounted white people and other people of color at high rates.
I see.
But if you were to look at the data overall nationwide, it would undercount overall the number of Black people killed.
And we know that overall more white people are killed by police, but relative to their population, African Americans are at the highest risk of being killed by police. Let's talk about what media outlets started doing. The Guardian started keeping track using its database, The Counted. The Washington Post started keeping track of numbers, and they did this using news articles and scouring the data, sort of like how databases were keeping track of Iraqis killed during the Iraq War, using media reports. Now, you found that these were much more accurate than the NVSS, but still not counting all the deaths, right?
Yeah, what we were able to do was we chose the Guardian's database, which actually they stopped counting deaths at the end of 2016, but we had access to the 2015 data at the time. So we matched these cases reported in The Guardian to this national death certificate data. And yeah, we found that 7%, so much fewer cases were missing, 7% of deaths were missing from The Guardian. So The Guardian is doing a much better job, and they're relying on looking for local media reports. And actually, under the in the final 2 years of the Obama administration, the Department of Justice was switching to an approach where they would use this method also. So voluntary reporting by police departments, and also using this approach where they'd look at local media sources. And it's not clear if the Trump administration is continuing that. It's also not clear if researchers or journalists will ever have access to that data.
I want to get to in a minute why The Guardian stopped its counting, but let's talk about then what you did. You used a statistical method that is used in wildlife ecology to ensure that wildlife, like the animals basically, are properly counted. What was the statistical method and how did you think to apply it to police killings in the United States?
Yeah, so this it's called capture recapture analysis. It comes from things like biologists going into a pond and trying to see how many fish are there based on catching them all in a trap, marking them, and then another day coming and capturing them in another trap and seeing how many are marked. And basically you can get an estimate of not just who's captured in each trap, but who's not captured in either using statistical methods. This method has been used by human rights groups to estimate the number of people killed in war, in ethnic conflict, in mostly international settings. And there have been some early attempts to do this with police data in the United States, but we were the first ones to use identifiable data, meaning we didn't have to guess who was in one list versus the other. We had the names from The Guardian and we were able to get the correct death certificates for them. So we were building on methods of people who came before us, but were able to do a more accurate job of it.
Can you explain, I mean, without getting terribly technical, can you explain how this method works and why it's more accurate than say what The Guardian or Washington Post were doing?
Yeah, it's always good to have more sources. So The Guardian, Washington Post are doing a good job of searching through media reports that say people were killed by police in various parts of the US, but not all of those will be reported. Some of them might not make the news. Some of them might not be online if they are in the news. And then we've already talked about the death certificates having problems. So when you have two incomplete lists, the question is, how do you get the size of the whole population? In this case, a population of people killed by police. And just the way the statistics work out, the greater the overlap in the two lists, the smaller the uncounted population is. So in our case, nearly every person reported as killed by police in the death certificate data was also reflected in The Guardian. So pretty much we could just add together the people who were reported in The Guardian only, the people who reported in CDC data only, and that brought us close to the total number. And then we were estimate that about 50 people were not captured in either system.
Were you able to prove that at least over a particular region that your estimate actually might have, is there a way to prove, I should ask, that your estimate actually matches the real numbers?
This is as best one can get at a real number. That's the whole problem with estimating something that's uncertain. So in absence of a system that does require every police department in the US to report deaths, this is the best anyone could possibly do.
So give us a sense of the numbers here, just to remind us of how serious the problem is. I mean, we just had a terrible terrorist attack in New York City where 8 people were killed by a vehicle. And politicians are quick to sort of politicize these sorts of issues. And yet the very people who are supposed to be serving and protecting us, at their hands, there are far too many Americans being killed, whether sometimes those killings might be justified or not, you know, sitting aside the individual aspects of each case, it just seems like the numbers are way higher than they should be. So what are some of those numbers?
Yeah, so our estimate is that in 2015, there were a total of 1,166 people killed by police. So almost 1,200 people in 1 year. And as you said, these happened under a variety of circumstances. Some of them may have been justifiable under local and federal laws. Some of them might have been armed or unarmed. But the especially coming from public health like myself, we look at a systems approach and at prevention. So even if some of them were not some of the cases that have made the news of unarmed people seemingly egregiously being shot, we need to have better data on where the patterns are, which police departments have the highest rates of civilian deaths, because most of these deaths, even if someone is armed, most of them can be prevented. And we know that some police departments have much lower rates than others, even though the crime rates might not be that different in the different cities.
And when we think about how amazing it is that the federal government doesn't keep track directly of these numbers, just like, for example, we don't keep track of the number of gun deaths overall, you know, by police or non-police, it seems to be sort of a deliberate decision to not want to explore this as a public health crisis, whether police killings or gun violence overall. In other countries, you just have far fewer people dying at the hands of their police departments than we do here in the United States. How important is it to get these numbers right? What hope do you have that the work you've done can be used, you know, for something very constructive?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of interest by people, especially in the public health and medical communities, to get involved. And this is something we don't have to wait for Congress or the Department of Justice or the Trump administration to act on, because we have state and local health departments. And what I and my other researchers, co-authors on this paper, have proposed is having changes in regulations and laws at the state level that would require coroners, medical examiners, and physicians to report these cases of people being killed by police to their state health department, just like they're already required to report conditions like childhood lead poisoning, Zika virus, et cetera. So there's already a framework in place.
You mentioned that the Guardian newspaper stopped counting the number of people killed by police. Its database, the counted, was revealed, in a very grand manner in 2015. End of 2016, it stopped doing it. And basically, what their justification was that the Bureau of Justice Statistics and the FBI are promising to do better, so we're going to stop counting. What do you make of this? I was sort of surprised to see that the Guardian said that they would stop counting.
Yeah, I can't speak for them. I do know some reporters I've spoken to, and not just at the Guardian, when I've discussed ideas for how to improve reporting nationally, kind of take issue that this is not really the media's job to do what the government should be doing. And I know Guardian, their US reporting has been stretched thin due to financial issues. That could play a role, and perhaps they don't see it as their best use of resources, when really it is true that this should be primarily the government's job.
Of course. And, you know, we can't fault the media for not being able to count every single death either. It isn't their responsibility necessarily to make sure that these things are being counted. Their job is to report on the news. But they were filling in, and providing a social function in the absence of what the government was doing. And so it was absolutely crucial for them to start doing this. It helped to show how severely undercounted the numbers were to begin with. And so it is certainly a pity that the Guardian has stopped doing this sort of counting. You also alluded earlier in the conversation to whether to the fact that you're not sure how the Trump administration is addressing this issue. We know right away Attorney General Jeff Sessions mentioned that he was going to be a friend to police, and that he was going to pull back on the modest measures of accountability that the Obama administration had started to put into place on police brutality and police killings. Would you be at all surprised to find out that the federal government under Trump has no interest in counting people killed by police?
That seems to be my impression. There is a law that Congress has reauthorized multiple times and is currently in effect, the Deaths in Custody Reporting Act. So the Justice Department is required to be tracking these deaths. They may have gone back to the old method of simply relying on voluntary reporting by police departments. But either way, these are data that have never been fully available to the public. You can get from prior years, you can get aggregate counts, such as overall numbers from some police departments, but there's no breakdown that would be really useful for the public or researchers in terms of what dates, who was killed in what cities. That's never been available, and it's not clear what they'll make available in the future.
How will you say if you wanted next year to estimate how many people were killed by police in the year 2017? How would you go about doing it without the Guardian's database?
Yeah, there are other sources. So the Washington Post does not include deaths that were not caused by firearms. So if Freddie Gray, who was killed by a chokehold, Eric Garner was killed by a chokehold, Freddie Gray, who was killed in the back of a truck, police truck, those are not counted. There are other sources. There's fatalencounters.org and some other websites that do keep track of all deaths related to police. So simply I could take one of those lists.
I see.
The same thing, matching them to CDC data.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Justin, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Justin Feldman is a social epidemiologist and doctoral candidate at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. We've been discussing his newly published study in PLOS Medicine about the undercounting of police killings. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.